I hope you have your Bibles with you. If not, you're going to be lost this morning. It's going to be a short message, but it's going to be a lot of scripture. So do your best to keep up. And if you have problems doing that, then just listen and get a tape. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and then keep something in the book of Acts because we're going to go back there many, many different times today. Acts chapter 20, page 1177. Acts chapter 20. We're going to come to a word in the scripture several different times, and that word is great. And so every time we come to that word great, I'm going to have you circle it like great example. Circle great example, if you mark in your Bibles, and you should. So we'll come to that a little bit later on. Good Shepherd Baptist Church is now 10 years old. And we've come a long way in our 10 years of our existence. And my, how God has blessed us. It's amazing what the Lord has accomplished in these brief 10 years. I personally believe that we have a great church. It's not a large church, but large doesn't mean great. But it is a great church. I believe we have a very precious group of people who make up our church. But I wonder how we can make our church an even greater and stronger church. That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. So with that in mind, let's look at some of the ways this might happen. I'm going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture to start out with in Acts chapter 20. Would you follow along in your Bibles as I begin reading in verse number 20? And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24 happens to be my life's verse. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I saw night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence now to preach your word of God. I pray that you'll bind the devil from our midst and from our minds. I pray you'll keep the folks from wondering about and thinking about things they got planned maybe the rest of the day or the rest of the week. And will concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in all of our hearts and change us. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, Paul was speaking of building a stronger church, a more effective local church ministry. We learn from Scripture that the church is the object of Christ's love. Go with me over to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You'll find that on page 1254. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. Have you found it yet? You got it? Look at verse 25, page 1254. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord Jesus Christ so loved the church that he allowed himself to be crucified on an old rugged cross to pay our sin debt and open up a way for heaven. We also learn that Christ is the founder, foundation, and cornerstone of his church. Look at these verses with me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, please, page 1214 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then go to your right a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians again, the second chapter. And look with me at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, page 1251. And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The church is the body of which Jesus Christ is the head. Look across the page there, Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verses 22 and 23, right where you are right now. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now go over to your right a few more pages to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, page 1263, verse number 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence or have first place. Now my question is, did the head of the church, the founder, the foundation, the cornerstone of the church, leave any instructions to his church when he went back to heaven? Oh, yes, he certainly did. Go back to Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter, please. Page 1069, Mark chapter 16. The church is commanded, commissioned to preach the gospel to the whole world. Look at Mark 16 and verse 15, what our Lord says in verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The church is commanded, commissioned to preach the gospel to the whole world. That's God's command and commission for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. God has called Good Shepherd Baptist Church and every gospel preaching church to do his work, to win the lost to Christ, to become a stronger church, and have a more effective and positive testimony. However, dear folks, there are some things that hinder a church, hinder the work of God. What is it that stifles church growth? What dangers are there found in the church that grieve the Holy Spirit of the living God and discourage Christians? I want us to look at a few of these. Number one, thinking too much of self. Self-centeredness. This is a picture of our, modern-day church. Look in Romans chapter 12 with me. Go to your right a little bit to the book of Romans and the 12th chapter. You're going to learn the Bible where the books are before we're done this morning. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse number 3, page 1206. Page 1206, Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, I am nothing, and Christ is everything. Now that's the exact opposite of our humanistic society. Our humanistic society says, it's all about me. I am the center of all my desires and efforts. I come first. I think that's pretty evident on most holiday weekends when people seem to just stay away from church. Our attendance drops drastically on holiday weekends. I truly believe that so many Christians are just playing church today and are not really interested in it at all. I suppose for some, the newness of a new work has lost its excitement, so we turn to other things to get our attention and interest. The second thing that hinders a church's growth, stifles the growth, and grieves the Holy Spirit is unconfessed and unrepented sin. Go way back to the middle of the Bible to Proverbs chapter 28, please. Proverbs chapter 28, you'll find that on page 692. 692, Proverbs chapter 28. And look with me or listen carefully at verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Is there some unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life this morning? Then you better not hide it. You better confess it and make it right with God. Then number three, tolerance of sin. Go back, keep going to your right to stop at Ezekiel chapter 33, page 876, Ezekiel chapter 33. And look at verse number 8, or listen to verse number 8 carefully. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. The church cannot tolerate gross sins. And if you're living in unconfessed sin this morning, I want you to know, and you think it's hidden from God and hidden from people, I want you to know the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin finds us out in our bodies, our character, our children, our homes, and our conscience. Then a fourth thing that hinders the work of God and grieves the Holy Spirit is a spirit of worldliness. Go back to the New Testament with me again now and stop at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll find that on page 1281. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at the first part of verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, how many people have left the church, have left Christ because of their love for this world. Anything that comes between us and God and keeps us away from church and serving and witnessing and becoming Christ-like is a spirit of worldliness. Number five that hinders a church's growth and grieves the Holy Spirit is lack of commitment, irresponsibility and apathy, coldness of heart, unconcern, unfaithfulness. All of these things describe the day and age in which you and I live. Then a sixth thing is failing to love one another in Jesus' name. Go back to John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, please. John 13. That'll be on page 1135. John 13. And look at verse number 35 with me as our Lord is speaking. And he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How's that outside world out there going to know that we are true followers of Jesus Christ? It's not by coming to church. It's not by paying tithes. It's not by being good. It's not by winning. It's not by soul winning. It's because the love we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So all of these things hinders a church's growth. But, dear folks, let's turn the coin over. There are some things that are vital in building a strong church. The book of Acts gives us a pattern or an example to follow. We learn from Scripture there are some things that we must do in order to become a strong and growing church. So let's look at some of these. Turn over a few pages from John to Acts again, the fourth chapter. The book of Acts and the fourth chapter. Acts chapter 4. I'll be there in just a minute. I hope my voice clears up also. Acts chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 31. That'll be it. Let me give you a page number. That's on page number 1154. Acts chapter 4, number 1, a strong church is great in prayer and power. Look at the first part of verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I have a dream. And my dream is that someday on a Wednesday night, this church will be jam-packed and people will be standing around the edges and they've come to pray and they've come to get God's power. Now, that's probably not ever going to happen. In fact, Wednesday night, if it keeps dribbling like it is and going down with attendance, we won't even have a Wednesday night service before long. Number two, they had power in speaking God's word. Look at the last part of verse number 31. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the result? They spake the word of God with boldness. They came to church. They spent time in prayer. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and spoke the word of God in with great, great power. Number three, they had power in witnessing. Look down at verse 33. And with, now here's the first great circle. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the second great, great grace was upon them all. They had power to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had power in soul winning. Go back to a couple pages to your left to Acts chapter 1. We read it in our scriptures a while ago. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And the Lord is speaking. And he says, but ye shall receive power. That's after we come for prayer. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power in soul winning. They had power in evangelism. Go over to your right a little bit to Acts chapter 8. Acts the 8th chapter. And look with me at verse number 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. You just couldn't stop this church. Go over a few pages to the 11th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 11. And look with me at verse number 21. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. Page 1164, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And here's another great, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then they had great grace, grace to have saving faith. Go to those familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 2. To your right, several pages to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, page 1251. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then they had grace to grow in God's word. Go to your right a little bit further and stop at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, page number 1320. 1320, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 18 with me, please. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. They had grace to love. They had grace to serve the Lord. Gracious grace, Christian grace, Christ-likeness. A church is strong only in its proportion to its growth in grace, the grace and graciousness of Christ. Then fear adds to the strength of a church. Go back to Acts again, this time the 5th chapter, please. Acts chapter 5, and we'll look at verse number 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 5, page 1155, 1155, verse number 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Now here's another great, and great fear came on all of them that heard these words. Down to verse 11. And, here it is again, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. We have very little fear of God today. In fact, the Bible backs that up. From your book of Acts, where you're keeping a finger, go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, page number 1194. Romans chapter 3, verse number 18. It's a picture of our church today, our world today. Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We have no fear of God anymore, it seems to me like. Not fear of man, but fear of God. A holy respect, devotion, and love of Christ and the things of God. The fear of God needs to get a hold of us. causing us to examine ourselves and change our priorities that will result in a changed life. The fear of God strengthens a people and a church. Then there's something else. Great persecution helps grow a strong church. Go back this time to Acts chapter 8, please. The book of Acts and the 8th chapter. And we'll look at a couple, 3 verses here. In Acts chapter 8, page number 1159. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution. All right, there's another great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made, here's another great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered went abroad everywhere, preaching the word. You couldn't stop this group of people. They just would not be stopped. They were scattered everywhere, but they would not be stopped. They were determined they were going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 tells us that the suffering and persecution they experienced caused them to be a missionary-minded church. They reached out into reaches beyond with the gospel. Let's go to 2 Timothy again. You were there a little while ago. You think you can find it again? 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1281. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Now, we don't like this one at all. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Then let's go to another one. Great joy is proof of a strong church. Back to Acts again and the 8th chapter again. Acts chapter number 8. If you'll find your way back there with me, please. Page 1159, Acts chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5 of Acts 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What else can you preach but Christ? And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Now notice verse 8. And there was a great joy in that city. There's another great. A great joy. We see the results of this great joy and a growing church over in Acts 11. So from the 8th chapter, go over a couple of pages to the 11th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 11, and beginning in verse number 19. Page 1164, verse 19. Then they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And here's another great. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. How come so many people believed? How come so many people trusted in Christ? How come so many people got saved? How come this church became so strong? It was the result of this great power, great grace, great fear, great persecution, and great joy. Souls were being saved. God was blessing his work, and the church was growing. This was not a joy that had to be worked up by emotions or entertainment or amusements that most churches are using today. It was a real joy because of the great things that God was doing. They experienced God's joy because they were obedient to the Lord. One more verse. Back to John again, the 13th chapter. John 13, page 1134. John's Gospel, the 13th chapter. And verse number 17. And our Lord is speaking. And notice what he says in John 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Do you want to be happy? Then apply this message. If the Lord tarries, Good Shepherd Baptist Church has a great opportunity of having our best years ahead of us. We've had a great 10 years now, and it's just the begun. Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Good Shepherd Baptist Church has a great future. If, oh, the power of that little word if we have great power, if we have great grace, if we have great fear, if we have great persecution, and if we have great joy. Do you know the joy of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, come to Him and let Him become your Savior. And do we want our great church to become a greater church? It's up to us. It's up to you and me. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you how it speaks to us and changes us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for these great 10 years we've had on this corner. And I pray it might please you to get us have greater years, greater and stronger church than what we've had these past 10 years. Help our church to grow. Help us to reach out and reach those who are lost and bring them in. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray, Father, for those that may be without Christ as Savior, that they'll come and receive Him this morning. Others may need to come and use this altar for whatever purposes or needs they have. I pray you'd make folks make decisions today that 100 years from today they'll be glad that they made. Don't let Satan hinder the invitation or changing our lives. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.